Democrats argue that President Trump abused his power and should be removed from office.
They spent a long time going through previous impeachment cases and talking about instances when the abuse of power has in fact been considered impeachable.
And our weekly election 2020 series continues with a look at TV ads blanketing Iowa ahead of next week's caucuses.
Over 500 ads a day that are going out into Cedar Rapids and Des Moines and Davenport.
Plus, the number of confirmed coronavirus cases continues to grow. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we take a closer look at the hundreds of Democratic presidential TV ads airing in Iowa and what they tell us about the 2020 race, here's what you missed. Chinese officials now say that more than 800 people have coronavirus and that at least 25 people have died. Tens of millions of people in central China remain on lockdown, and Disney is temporarily closing its Shanghai park. We're reporting that several drug companies are now rushing to develop vaccines for the virus, but that testing in humans won't happen for at least several months. The personal computer isn't dead, at least if Intel's results are anything to go by. The chipmaker said fourth quarter earnings benefited from an increase in PC shipments as well as demand for data center chips. It also gave an upbeat forecast for the rest of the year. Shares in Intel rose around 6% in after-hours trading. $31.5 million. That's how much J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon took home last year, primarily in stock awards. It's a boost from 2018 when he was the highest paid big bank boss in the United States. It's a crown he's likely to keep, though most big banks have yet to disclose their executive pay. Dimon has run J.P. Morgan since 2005. Now, our main story. It's Friday, which means it's time for our weekly look at the 2020 presidential race. Today, we're going to take you to Iowa, where residents are being bombarded with ads from Democratic hopefuls. According to Cantor CMAG, the capital, Des Moines, has been blanketed with 500 ads a day on cable, satellite, and broadcast TV. Our Charlie Turner has been finding out more from political reporter Chad Day, who, yes, has been watching all of those ads, so we don't have to.
Chad, the Iowa caucuses are a little more than a week away, and that means a barrage of TV campaign ads. How much money have the candidates spent on TV advertising in Iowa?
Well, so far we've crossed the $60 million mark, and it's continuing to climb. It wouldn't surprise me if we were to see possibly even $80 million by next week, or as we near that Iowa caucuses starting.
What's been the tenor of the ads? The candidates have butted heads in debates and social media, face-to-face. Have they used the airwaves to attack each other?
We haven't seen that really spill over into the TV advertising. Instead, they've really stayed away from attacking each other. We haven't found any evidence that they've even mentioned another candidate, in their ads. And, that's when we talk to people that watch advertising in Iowa, they say it's not surprising because of the way the caucuses operate. Any time that you were to attack a candidate, that's one of your rivals, you are also possibly, attacking their supporters who, with the way the caucuses work, you may be trying to woo those supporters later on if their chosen candidate doesn't meet a certain threshold. They don't see much of an upside in trying to do negative advertising at this point, and rather are sticking to bio ads, things that are talking up their credentials, their ability to beat President Trump, and really focusing on the policy.
Well, give some examples, candidates, issues.
A couple ads stick out. One is Joe Biden is using an ad to not only attack President Trump on, trying to tear down Obamacare, but also tout his own credentials on health care after, having passed the law with President Obama.
From the moment he took office, Donald Trump has tried to destroy Obamacare. No one is more determined to protect it than Joe Biden.
We're also seeing, with Bernie Sanders, there's a particularly striking ad where it starts out with people around a gravestone.
There are people who are dying in America because they cannot afford the outrageous cost of prescription drugs in this country. Now we have a government that does not.
You know, what they're doing with these ads is they're trying to extrapolate and build off the policies that they're talking about on the campaign trail while not engaging with each other. You know, the closest we see is, you know, there's a couple ads where they'll say, like, other candidates may say, but they never mention the other candidate's name or contrast a particular policy.
Well, you just mentioned Joe Biden touting Obamacare, and that would seem to be an implicit dig since other candidates have touted Medicare for All.
Right. So one thing that is notable in our data that we've seen is that a lot of the candidates are talking about healthcare. They're talking about it in different ways. As you mentioned, you know, Joe Biden is talking up Obamacare and trying to build off that. We are seeing Bernie Sanders talk a lot about Medicare for All and his policies on, you know, proposals for health care reform. One thing that we're not seeing, though, is Elizabeth Warren mentioned that. Instead, you know, we have not seen a single ad where she's talking about health care. Instead, she's focusing on a message of Washington is corrupt and trying to talk about how she would come in and clean house.
When we have a government that works for the rich and the powerful and leaves everyone else behind, it's corruption pure and simple.
You know, it's interesting to see kind of this these dynamics of what the candidates are talking about and also what they're not talking about in the ads that they are, you know, basically trying to use as their closing argument before the Iowa caucuses.
Well, another candidate, Chad, that's polled well in Iowa is Pete Buttigieg. What's been the tenor of his ads?
Most of the Pete Buttigieg ads have featured him, you know, clips of speeches that he's given that are either talking about returning, you know, helping people who have lost their jobs in manufacturing.
You know, as I travel through Iowa, I see all these communities that remind me of my own hometown, a city that had an amazing industrial heyday, but then corporations' greed and recklessness brought it to its knees.
You see kind of the differences in the different ads where his feature a lot of him speaking in front of people, talking to voters, whereas in other candidates' ads, you're seeing more of either, you know, kind of the voice of God narrator or the candidates addressing the camera directly and then talking about their policies.
What about Amy Klobuchar?
Amy Klobuchar is talking about her ability to be able to win in red areas. She really touts her ability to win in Minnesota and to win counties that voted for Trump but then voted for her. And talking about her ability to be able to have some crossover appeal when it comes to moderate voters.
Will TV ads like these help swing the race? Are they likely to have a big influence on how Iowans vote?
You know, the thing about TV advertising in politics, particularly right now, is that you have to do some to get your name out there. But it's probably not going to be something that, you know, unless there's some blockbuster ad that would probably break into the news, you know, conversation, they're probably not going to sway the race. It's more about it, particularly in Iowa. It's about FaceTime, being out on the campaign trail, talking to voters. Iowans are very, very particular about making sure the candidates show their face and that they see them and hear them and get to know them.
If you have subjects or angles that you're curious about regarding the 2020 race, you can email us at whatsnews@wsj.com or tweet us at WSJPodcasts. You can find all of our election 2020 coverage up on WSJ.com. On to markets. Have you ever heard of rhodium? It's a precious metal that strips pollutants out of exhaust fumes. That makes it a key component for car manufacturers who need to hit stricter emissions targets in Europe and Asia. That's one reason why its price has surged by 65% in this year alone, making it the world's priciest precious metal. Our resident rhodium expert, Joe Wallace, has more.
Well, as you say, rhodium is a really key ingredient for car manufacturers as they try to meet tougher emission restrictions, particularly in China and the European Union, because it's using catalytic converters, which convert toxic gases, which you wouldn't want to breathe in, like carbon monoxide, into nitrogen, water. And at the same time, its demand is really rising. Supplies of rhodium are quite tight. There's not much of it to go around. It's a precious metal. It's a rare metal. And miners don't really want to raise output because they mine rhodium as a byproduct of palladium and platinum. And platinum prices in particular are quite weak, so they don't want to flood the platinum market with more metal. So what happens from here? I mean, most traders don't think it can keep on rising at this pace because it's going up so fast. But they do think rhodium prices will remain pretty high, because these tighter emission standards are here to stay, which means demand's really going to remain pretty strong from the car industry.
And here's what else we're paying attention to today. Democrats will have a third and final day to present their case for impeaching President Trump to the Senate. Yesterday, they argued that the president abused his office and that even though that isn't a criminal offense, it's an impeachable one. Our political reporter Andy Duren has more on what to expect today.
They are expected to really get into the details of the second article of impeachment, which focuses on obstruction of Congress. President Trump, the Trump administration generally did not comply with subpoenas the House issued throughout the fall for documents and witness testimony relating to their investigation into President Trump's request for investigations from Ukraine. And so they're expected to somewhat similarly go through kind of the legal thinking behind the article of impeachment, why they think that Congress needs to, under the Constitution, have the ability to receive documentation and witness testimony from the executive branch, and then also get into some of the factual, you know, the actual facts, the substance of the of what they said is impeachable.
President Trump has repeatedly denied wrongdoing. His legal team will begin their defense on Saturday. We'll have all the latest for you in our afternoon edition. Also in Washington today, President Trump plans to address an annual rally of anti-abortion demonstrators. It would be the first in-person appearance by a sitting president at the March for Life in its 47-year history. Finally,
good evening, I'm Jim Lehrer.
Jim Lehrer of the PBS NewsHour died at the age of 85 yesterday. A frequent moderator of presidential debates, he was known for his fair-minded and in-depth approach to journalism. He served as an inspiration for many aspiring broadcasters, yours truly included, so I want to leave you with some of his rules for good journalism.
Do nothing I cannot defend. Cover, write, and present every story with the care I would want if the story were about me. Assume there is at least one other side or version to every story. Assume the viewer is as smart and as caring and as good a person as I am. Assume the same about all people on whom I report.
And the last one.
And finally, I am not in the entertainment business.
That's what's news from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.